Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're on.
Theo Walcott turned 30 today.
Did he? Oh my god.
He went to the World Cup in... Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, back for another episode. This one, not about the Six Nations. If you're looking for that, check our feed. It's already there. Hit subscribe while you're there. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We're streaming on YouTube as well, so go and check out the video. And yeah, we're here in the Rugby Dungeon to talk about all other matters, the news from the Rugby Week, and looking ahead to the domestic weekend. JB's right there.
Hello, Tim.
Phil is right there.
Hello, Tim.
And I'm here, I'm Tim, and apologies for ballsing up the start of the podcast. I was just gobsmacked that Theo Walcott is 30 years of age yesterday.
Yes, that's staggering, because I remember when he was 19 playing for England. In fact, I was with you, well, Phil, and we were watching it in the Queen of Hearts in Fallowfield.
2000s.
Were we?
Yes, we were.
Wow, that's a proper student pub.
It is. Well, we were
was
just out of being students ourselves, I guess.
In when was this?
Mind you, maybe we were...
2006 he went to the
2006, yeah,
World Cup.
Just finishing being
anyway,
students.
It's got absolutely nothing to do with anything.
not to do with rugby.
Right, there's a few stories to talk about. Some things we didn't manage to get across in the last podcast, and as I say, looking ahead. But let's start with the World Rugby and their efforts to broker a Nations League, which we talked about before. We did a whole podcast on it, in fact, but there has been an update in the last week from World Rugby, who updated their plans, which, broadly speaking, was a 12-team league annually with promotion and relegation, except in a Lions year and a World Cup year. Tiers all the way down to the very bottom of all the teams that play World Rugby, up to the very, very top, which includes the Six Nations Rugby Championship, top 12 teams in two conferences of six, just a final playoff, no semi-final and final, played across the whole year. So there would be five games during the Six Nations, three games during the summer, three games during the autumn internationals, and a final for the top two teams. Well, the top team from the Northern Hemisphere and the top team from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, so that was the proposal. But
that's the structure.
Yeah, but it's been thrown into doubt, has it not, because of the CVC stuff?
Well, yes, so that was the structure. What's changed is the financing of it that went alongside it from World Rugby, who I think Phil said that they were a sports marketing company. Was
called Infront.
Infront.
Who do a lot of work, so I've just been looking at their annual report. They do a lot of work with FIFA in football.
Yeah. What was the Sepp Blatter's like son?
Yeah. Oh right,
is involved in it.
Perfect. I quickly
but flicked
it's not
through
Sepp Blatter.
Their,
we shouldn't.
Well,
tar,
I quickly
tar
flicked through
with
their Wikipedia page, and it did reference Sepp Blatter, so that's not a good start.
Well,
but they've got some big name competitions
what,
and organisations that they deal
with. You
don't
want to get involved with Sepp Blatter, right? Conversely, I'd love to be involved with me personally, if I could get
personally
involved,
financially.
Yeah, I mean, if there was someone like a Sepp Blatter character who came into rugby, I would love to be involved with that person.
They do media and marketing, right? So I think it's an effort to invest and try to monetize and get greater value out of the game, and as a result be able to reinvest that money into infrastructure and to be able to give financial reward to the unions for their participation in the Nations League.
Yeah, and the two numbers in the World Rugby updated statement was a 5 billion, guaranteed almost 5 billion investment in the sport, of which more than 1.5 billion, it says, is guaranteed incremental revenue for the World Game. And I would assume that, so this is over 12 years, but 1.5 billion would be invested into the unions.
Yeah. So there's the competing offer, which the Six Nations are considering currently, and the decision for this will be made by, I think, the end of March, is a CVC, the equity company that have made an offer to try and buy Premiership Rugby as well, are looking at the top 14, are looking at Pro 14 as well to try and invest in those. They have put down an alleged £100 million deal to take over the Six Nations.
Hmm.
Or would it be worth £100 million to each? No. Can't be.
Don't know.
It's worth a lot of cash to all of the nations, but
someone's getting paid.
But would give them a stake in all of the unions.
Yeah.
In the Six Nations competition, and so thereby in the unions.
A little bit conflicted about this because, well, we're talking about corporate takeovers, and I guess at the top level of rugby, you do need to run it as a business. But actually, do you really need to run it as a business? Because I am Mr. Free Markets, Mr. Conservative, Mr. all those things, right? I am about as centre-right as you can possibly get, particularly on capitalism and stuff like that. But with rugby, does it need to grow? And I don't mean growing the numbers of people in the game. Does the money need to grow? I mean, why?
Well, interesting question, but one thing that I would immediately jump to is to get the most talented players. So if you want the most talented players playing, and let's just say the NBA start looking at Fiji as a place to select the next Leonu Nakarawa to play for the Chicago Bulls or whoever it is, if rugby has at least competitive money, you can ensure that talent remains within the game.
And so you get access to the best talent. So what you're saying is we need this money, right, in order to attract athletes that might go to different sports.
I'm saying that is one significant benefit from having money.
The second that Jordan Mailata at the Philadelphia Eagles suddenly starts starting at left tackle and dominating, having come from rugby league and, forgive me, Jordan Mailata, I think it's Samoa descent.
Yeah.
The second that he starts dominating, then the NFL are going to go,
Yeah, well, they do say, don't they, that boxing suffered because all the athletes went to the NFL. Or the NBA. Fine.
So cricket, there was certainly a period where West Indies tall, fast, what would have been fast bowlers started being scouted for running backs or NBA or that kind of stuff.
So yeah, there is that. I mean, I think rugby is more fundamental than that, which is a lot of people play it because they don't like the other sports, and because you like the rugby club culture and all the rest of it. And I've just had to wonder if, maybe they shouldn't be running it strictly just as a business. Maybe it should be, because if it is just as a business, how does Wales survive? Or how does Latvia get a team? Because these domestic markets won't be big enough in order to justify these teams. You're going to end up with something which looks like the NFL, which might be great for that league. But what does it mean for participation and everything else?
It doesn't. I think one of the points of this is you don't have to rely on those domestic markets. As in, if the finances is done centrally and spread evenly, then you can. So if all the Welsh rugby clubs decide they're not going to merge, they're not going to have four separate clubs, they're not going to have three or eight or however many, they're just going to pack it all in, you could still have huge central funding from an organisation creating a Welsh rugby union, creating the players.
And no one would want that. I mean, would you want to see club rugby go?
No, that is not what I'm saying.
That £5 billion funding infrastructure. And how many times have we said, you've cited the Irish model, that it's school system which generates Irish rugby players.
It is. Same with England.
What if suddenly there was money which could be
put into schools?
Put into to try and. So it's played in more schools. So the standard of coaching is better at base levels.
I think that this sort of stuff, when they say, oh, we're going to spend it on on infrastructure. I'm very sceptical about what that means. I think the best way to raise money for clubs is for clubs to go and raise their own money and spend it, you know, the way that they want to, rather than, and whether it be CVC or it be World Rugby or anyone saying, here, we are going to promise you huge, 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 huge central revenues, because you become focused on that revenue and you become dependent on it.
I take that. So what I would say is the point, so if I change what I say slightly, rather than, I'm not saying giving money to schools or clubs, there are ways that you could spread the game to more people that wouldn't otherwise play rugby.
And that is, to me, the important part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to see Spain and Portugal be playing at a high standard. And you'd have to convince me that going down this route of these super tournaments annually is a good idea. And I'm not convinced it is.
Well, one small thing, for example, whereas, yes, rather than giving clubs money to spend, actually, if you coached coaches at rugby clubs.
Yeah.
Then, so you had better coaching of young players. That's why New Zealand. I talked about it on the other podcast. Why Wales have these rugby brains, this rugby intellect. That's because it's sort of in the DNA of the nation, and it's taught from a really young age. Same with New Zealand. It's why they punch above their weight in terms of per capita, and I think it's one of the areas where England really struggles is the quality of coaching at grassroots level. Unless you're in a private school, it's actually, on average, really bad. Well, not really bad, because it's willful. It's a lot of effort, but it doesn't. You don't harness the power of the player pool and the size of the player pool, which you always talk about.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, so I don't know, and actually I don't know enough of the details around these two deals to make any reasonable comment on exactly how successful or unsuccessful they'll be for the World Game.
So they are still, nothing is confirmed and agreed. Mm-hmm. It's all still hypothetical at the moment. And the statement this week by World Rugby didn't materially change anything other than, as Tim said before, the maximum of 12 games rather than 13.
11 for most sides, which is what it currently is.
The other two elements of this, the other two kind of key headings, so one was a commitment to improve the women's game to a similar standard, so continue to increase competitiveness of the women's game, which is a good thing. Is it not?
Providing women want to play. I mean, that is like a serious
I don't
point.
Think anyone in World Rugby or anywhere else is suggesting forcing women to play rugby.
No, but if you're putting a huge amount of resources, right, into targeting, not just women, targeting a demographic of society to play rugby who aren't willing to play or don't want to play rugby at the expense of people who do want to play rugby, I don't think that's a reasonable use of resources.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what World Rugby is suggesting here, but I can see that logic. The other element, which was on the back of the Top 14 and Premier Rugby announcement that they were disappointed that they'd not been consulted about this new proposal, which they hadn't been because it was only unions being consulted, it's very loose, but all it is a commitment to work with international rugby players, who are one of the parties of the International Rugby Players Councils, and also leading domestic club competitions to optimise the model, which I do think is a key component. I always assumed it would be part of it, and I think World Rugby did assume it, but there's no way that this model doesn't work if you can't dovetail the Premiership, the Champions Cup, the Top 14, the Pro 14, Super Rugby seasons into the new model.
Yeah.
It almost goes without saying, but there was the announcement by Premier Rugby and the Top 14 that they just hadn't been consulted.
Here, I think, is the crux decision and the sort of headline. Okay, so what would you decide out of these? You're one of the Six Nations unions, or you are the Six Nations. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you can decide for all six countries. You can take the CVC private equity cash, £100 million per union, keep it as a closed entity, completely separate, isolate it from, and shut off any chance of a World League.
Okay, so far so good.
Or alternatively, you take the Nations League model, promotion, relegation, If you had to just pick one of those.
First one.
You pick the first one.
I would,
if you
yeah.
had to pick one of those, you had to.
I am intrigued by the World League. Just if you give me those two options, I'd be tempted to go for the World League.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see. What I'd like is, say, let's just cut a five-year period. Let's do that for 5 years. And if you give me a button where we can revert back to the previous after 5 years, if I don't like it, I'd go for that option.
Yeah, but it just doesn't work like that, does it? It just doesn't. Like, you can't undo what has been done. So I would say be very careful with the Six Nations because it's very, very special. And it's not that I want people frozen out of the Six Nations. Far from it. I want everyone to have a Six Nations, but their own.
So here's where I've actually got to. If I had to pick from those two options, I would pick the World League. But after this weekend, I was sat there yesterday and I thought about this with after the games on Saturday. I sat and thought, how would I feel after the Six Nations if this was part of the World League? And I think where I got to was, I'd be thinking as an England fan, I'd say, oh yeah, Wales, you've got your Grand Slam, fine, doesn't matter, because actually it's all about where you finish come the end of the year and who's in the top two, who's in the top position. And I think there is an element where it will take the shine off the Six Nations and how amazing that is. The bit that I do like about the World League that I really want is the promotion relegation element and the fact that any nation can aspire to be at the elite. So the compromise position for me, which, you know, I'll throw this out there to World Rugby, take it, go with it, is to not have the Nations League structure, but to have Northern and Southern Hemisphere structures, which the pinnacle of which is the Six Nations and the Rugby Championship.
In which you kind of go, you have to
a sort of a compromise
promoted
position.
Promoted and demoted between
promoted
them.
And demoted, but then the rest of the season is still those rivalries. And one of the elements that is lost through the Nations League is that what World Rugby had committed to, which is Tier 2 sides playing Tier 1 sides in the autumn and the summer.
I just love that.
You lose that a little bit.
Yeah, so I would love.
So that's my sort of like, actually I'm playing the Phil role and going, I like a bit of that and I like a bit of that.
Well, sit on the fence, Tim.
Yeah, my best place, best bit, isn't it?
So
yeah.
Would you go for that, JB? If it was, the Six Nations still has that sanctity and that special.
I'd be happy with Italy,
but you had to put
having
a promotion relegation
clause in them, but no one else. And I thought, like, how would I do this if I had to put promotion relegation in? I might promote or relegate a team every 5 years. Based on their five-year record?
Yeah, or 4 years. Running World Cup cycles.
It's devastating for the team that drop out 4 years. And also, you automatically make whatever's below the Six Nations inferior. Whereas my dream would be the Rugby Europe Championship, got nailed it this time, to be as big as the Six Nations in its own right. Now, that sounds madness, right?
Yeah, it is madness.
It is madness. But, you know, they've had record attendances following on from last year's record attendances. They're filling out grounds now. You know, so, you know, it's a long way away.
What were the scores at the weekend?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. I know that Romania beat Belgium, and I know that Georgia won. I don't know the third game, but they are, you know, they're improving. They're filling their stadiums, and that's important.
So I like that idea. I'm just too much of a realist to think it could happen in any time less than 50 years.
Well, what did
I think 50 years is too optimistic.
Did Georgia get in their stadium? 40.
Their biggest games, 50,000.
Yeah, so
but it's not just about attendances, because Georgia last time they played Ireland got beat by 50 points. Last time they played Scotland got beat by 50 points. They were beaten fairly handily by Italy. So they're Georgia are the closest to be able to compete on that top tier. They're not even close yet, and they are comfortably the best team in that division and have been for a significant chunk of time.
Yeah, but if Georgia can do it, why can't Spain? Why can't Spain get to the same level as Georgia?
Well, we're not saying they can't. But Phil's talking about the time scale that you're talking about. It's probably not in our lifetime.
I think it is. I really.
Well, I suppose medical science has advanced a lot. We might live another 60 years if we're very lucky.
I think it is. maybe it's not, because it's not necessarily about about the infrastructure at the very top of the game. It's about all the clubs below it.
Do you think Italy will win a Six Nations in our lifetime? That's a genuine question.
I can't
see it.
Well, let's see how Treviso finish off.
Treviso, I think, yeah, maybe in 50 years' time, Italy could be competing based on what I've seen in the last
Georgia
20 years.
Will be competing in the World Cup at a higher level than Italy, probably this World Cup or next World Cup. I think Spain will be pushing Italy soon.
Interesting.
Herein lies the issue with, because if we took what you're saying as a legitimate suggestion, then it would require the money to be spread from the Six Nations and them to give some of that away to the league below to make up for the shortfall in television revenue, marketing money,
crowds.
Yeah, but you got to remember, they're also not spending Six Nations money on Six Nations players. So a lot of the money...
Yes, because they don't have really strong domestic leagues which cultivate great players.
Imagine giving a Spanish player like 25k per match. You know, they also don't have the expenses. So no, there does need to be a funding solution. And I think the one thing I'm pretty confident in...
Well, the CVC deal is the opposite of a funding solution, because it's drawing a big ring fence around the Six Nations, them going off as a little island on their own and saying...
Yeah,
we're a totally separate entity, nothing to do with anyone
else.
Not
only are we completely separate, it's our duty now to return something to our shareholders. I mean, that's a legal duty that they have.
Yeah,
I don't know what the legal duty is currently. I mean, I suppose Six Nations has to return something to its shareholders, which are the unions, but they can do with that whatever they wish.
Mm-hmm. I've just looked up the attendances for Georgia in the Rugby Nations.
Is it not good?
So. I've seen them when they hosted Samoa. It was 50-odd thousand.
I love the Phil has like live fact checking on the podcast.
So they hosted Spain. Should be a tasty game. 15? Attendance?
No, 12.
3,000.
In Georgia. Oh, right. Forget it.
So they played Russia in Russia, because that is normally another one that they sell out the stadium. But, yeah.
Not so much then.
Oh, they got 6,000 against Germany.
So there's 12,000.
Oh, yeah, and Russia, Georgia. So when that is played in Georgia, it's a big game. Played in Russia, 5,000.
So, yeah, that's...
I want to go to Tbilisi for the Scotland game.
Yeah, so a lot of people are calling you out on saying Tbilisi is not an amazing city. Apparently it's very good. And they invented wine.
Invented wine?
That's what they say. Apparently Georgians invented wine, and it's supposed to be amazing.
I think as your penance for writing it off, we need to go.
When is it?
August.
Bloody hell.
Just a weekend. Just a weekend.
We'll see if there's direct flights.
If there's direct flights from Manchester, I'll do it.
That are less than 200.
Surely there's a shady Georgian businessman who'll make this happen.
Yeah, you want to be careful with those shady Georgian businessmen. That's all I'm saying. If we can get direct flights from Manchester,
and we can do it in 2 nights.
You do it in 2 nights
for reasonable money.
I will
do it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of caveats there.
Yeah,
and then we've got 2 weeks in.
Get yourself some Cornerstone razors.
Yeah. If you want me to go to Georgia, buy yourself one of these lovely Ripper shirts I'm wearing.
Yeah,
merino wool. Akuma shop.
Akuma with a K. akumashop.com/eggchasers. Get on it.
Get a wonderful egg chaser shirt. Get yourself a Cornerstone razor. Egg 10 at checkout. An engraved weighty shaft with your 6 Cornerstone razors for just £4. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. So, right. So, just to conclude, you've got CVC cash. I actually get the feeling we're... As much as you love the Six Nations as is, you don't want a totally separate entity completely isolating themselves from any future involvement and completely separate entity from World Rugby. So am I sensing that despite the cash that might be on the table, you're saying no to CVC cash, JB?
Yeah, because I'd have to ask, what value are CVC bringing? I mean, when you bring in a business partner, I mean, if CVC are just buying it because they want it and they're going to pay the unions, fine. But then what are they going to add in the back end? Have you just sold the Six Nations for nothing? Are they going to go out and renegotiate all the TV deals? Are they going to open up new markets? Do they know how to, you know, get the Six Nations televised in America or whatever it may be? What is it that we're getting into bed with?
Well, it's interesting that they're going for, rumoured to be going, well, we know they've tried to buy Premiership Rugby or a majority stake or a significant stake. We know they've had a sniff around Pro 14. They're having a sniff around Top 14 as well. So which suggests to me they're just trying to buy European rugby as a whole
entity.
The problem
is, right, if you talk to our good friends in Australia, for instance, Green and Gold podcast, right, they say that, you know, basically it's all Northern Hemisphere, right? If they need to make money or want something to go viral online, it'll be a Northern Hemisphere thing which does it. It's the money from the Northern Hemisphere which powers everything, mostly from the UK, actually. It's difficult. It's a real, real difficult one. And also, answer me this. What is it to buy the Six Nations? Because presumably, what rights do you have to host a tournament? What if the team's pulled out of it?
Well, you would have a stake in the unions.
Well, that's it. But they don't, do they?
So they would.
So are you buying... Yeah, does the Six Nations come with a stake in the union?
No, it doesn't. That's... Six Nations is just a tournament. It's like the Premiership clubs own the Premiership, right? But if I own the Premiership...
Sure, it's got to be more locked down.
Yeah, there's got to be something else to it.
It's got
to
be more locked down than
like
that.
You can leave the Premiership if you wanted.
Yes.
And you could leave the Six Nations if you wanted.
So we're saying generally, no, if we were in charge, no to CVC. I can understand why people would go with the World League.
And maybe on CVC.
If it was just a 50-50, I'd go for World League. But actually, I think maybe let's do this in stages. Stage one, promotion relegation in the respective Northern and Southern Hemisphere competitions. And then maybe the Nations League could be a stage two.
Mm.
Maybe after the next World Cup cycle.
Yeah. I would also...
See how it goes.
I do know what? I would also have a huge scouting effort for tier two teams. I mean, I'm sure they do this anyway, but I would sift through every player playing Premiership to find Spanish heritage or Portuguese heritage. I mean, Spain already do a lot with the French clubs.
I was amazed that Ireland were aware that Billy Burns was Irish qualified.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be, but just when it happened, I was amazed.
Yeah, it's smart, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some smart people at the top of rugby, which you don't give them, who don't get enough credit.
Georgia-Romania on Super Saturday, or possibly even Super Sunday last year, was 38,000 in Georgia. That's more like it.
That is more like it.
It was 25-16 win for Georgia.
Romania can cheat cheat their way out of that, no?
Next year, Georgia will host Russia during the Six Nations. That could be the egg.
That's the one.
That could be the tier two
tour.
And
there's enough time between then and Japan for everyone to forget I've been to Japan for 2 weeks.
Right. The next one. This is a... I don't want to be flippant about this, but I think it's a story which is creating quite a lot of heat. So in the wake of the Christchurch incident, obviously it goes without saying absolute tragedy, there's been quite a lot of people that have been saying that the Crusaders isn't an appropriate name for a rugby side.
Okay.
In New Zealand. I understand the emotion and I understand the reaction in the immediate aftermath about things like this. But what do you think? I think it's not the same, obviously, because there isn't the backdrop with the incident that happened, but it's in there in the mix with people saying that Exeter Chiefs is inappropriate.
Well, Exeter Chiefs is not inappropriate. Crusaders are not inappropriate. None of this is inappropriate, and I don't think they should be, taking this tragedy to push forward political agendas, really. I mean, it's to sort of... the Crusades themselves, were pretty brutal, but life was brutal. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. I think people are just trying to cause issues where there don't need to be any issues.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one follows the Crusaders rugby team because they are trying to incite religious war.
Yeah.
No. They just like rugby.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
If I remember correctly, weren't the Crusaders fighting the Saracens?
Yes.
Should we get rid of the Saracens? No, it's fine. It's all fine.
There you go.
Well, I mean,
I think
agreed. It's there's a lot of commentaries and a lot of things being said about this.
Seen the Crusade. Well, people are trying to control what you think. And I don't know. I just don't, you know, I find the whole thing rather uncouth, actually. Mm. You know, there's 48 people dead and you want to push your agenda on a sports team who has nothing to do with it, you know, nothing to do with any of this. So, that's my opinion.
They've handled it in quite a classy manner, and hopefully it will blow over. And just like with the cultural appropriation accusation levied at Exeter Chiefs, it'll go really away.
Really, really boring names going forward, like the Blues, or, you know, something which is, I'm trying to think, you know, like the Paperweights.
In fact, there we go. There's a little challenge. The most mundane team nickname that you can think of at Rugby Podcast, tweet us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who've had family die at the hands of hurricanes. I mean, we can't ban the Hurricanes.
The Exeter Doilies.
The Sea Defences.
The Cardiff Net Curtains.
Yeah.
Just do one. It's not like there are actually people that think you shouldn't dress up at Halloween.
Don't. I am convinced, you know. I am convinced.
Are these people real?
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm pretty sure there is someone in a Russian troll form laughing at us.
Yeah. You know, the fact that you'll never guess what we got them to discuss this week.
Yeah, this is hilarious. Look at the mess I managed to stir up now. Yeah, that's what I think is happening.
You might be right. So, Sean Edwards, having just won a Grand Slam, has confirmed that he has not signed a contract with Wigan Warriors, as was thought to be the case. He said that they agreed that they were going to sign one, and then that Wigan said to him, yeah, we'll get to that soon, and that was 9 months ago.
Wow.
Well, clearly, you get the impression Sean Edwards hasn't necessarily been pushing it too much.
Not right now he won't be
pushing
it. Right
now he wouldn't be. So
his stock could not be much higher.
No, he is going to be unemployed after the World Cup, and he's available. There was some rumours of him being approached by Wasps. Mm.
But, where have they got that many from? Hmm.
But maybe has he got a job lot with Gatland and he's going to throw his lot in with wherever Gats goes?
I would. Where is Gatland going to go? England, I hope.
Mm. England and Edwards to the RFU sounds like a good ticket.
Yeah, I would be very, very careful about adding Sean Edwards as my head coach is the answer. Undoubtedly, he deserves a shot somewhere if he wants a shot. But on the other hand, he was head coach at Wasps, wasn't he? But he's always been very much Gatland's man.
Well, that was after Gatland left, he took over, didn't he?
Yeah, but he took over while still working for Wales. Yeah. So he had some sort of like dual role there. I don't think I would want him as my head coach necessarily, although he does deserve a chance somewhere, if he wants it. Why not stick with Gatland? I would stick with Gatland.
Probably. I mean,
if it was the RFU calling, he's an Englishman, isn't he? He'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thought of him going to England, him and Gatland, that is quite exciting.
I cannot tell you how excited I am about Gatland going to England and Edwards. They would be so, so good. I mean, we'd be looking at one of the best teams ever to play rugby. That's how good it would be.
It could make the Six Nations really boring, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they would destroy. It'd be back-to-back World Cups. It'd be better than what New Zealand put out for their back-to-back World Cups. That's how good it would be.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, well, well. We'll see about that one. What else has been going on? Cipriani. There's talk about him potentially moving on. You don't know whether this is just always at this time when stories like this come back. You go, is this just contract renegotiation leverage, or is this genuine? But I don't know whether I thought he had a 2-year contract, but there's some talk he's got a 1-year plus a 1-year extension with Gloucester, which would make him available.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumoured amount of money that he's on is, well, from what we've heard, below market rate for him,
which
for his
amazes me, because he's such a good player.
and with some of the money that's been talked about for other players, Andre Pollard, £500,000
Well,
quid.
It does.
Gareth Ainge come to Bath for stupid money.
I mean, yeah, it does. Oh my God, really?
Rumoured.
Well, it does stack up, doesn't it, that Cipriani might not be on the money you'd expect him to be, because that Gloucester team is expensive and they're good. And maybe.
And he can't possibly be a marquee player.
No. So, from his point of view, he must be thinking, I will take this cut in my salary because I've got a bloody brilliant squad around me. I've got a good team here, a good setup. If I'm going to get that England 20k bonus every time that I play, I need to be in this environment.
Yeah.
So maybe it's under market rate, but in other ways, it might be, you know, it might be ideal for him. And I know he is determined to be back in the England, in the England setup. That's the other thing.
It is ideal for him if he then gets to the England 25k, which he has once or twice in South Africa. But if you're not getting that additional 25k, you are definitely below market and certainly below what you could be earning in France.
The club's rumoured, Bath are interested. Gloucester want to keep him.
Obviously.
Quinns
is an interesting
Quinns.
One. Because Quinns have got Smith and Langers, who are both very good, young, talented players.
Catrachelis they have as well.
Has he gone though?
But no, he's
just not.
I think they would. They'd offload him to a Jefferson,
Catrachelis, yeah.
Because Tim Sweel left, right? He went to
Newcastle, didn't he?
Yeah. I wouldn't play for Quinns if
Bristol was the other club that was rumoured.
If I was Sippers, I'd go Bristol. I wouldn't go for Quinns. I'll tell you why. Because I'd be furious that the man who was signing me, i.e. Gustard, did not give me more help getting in the England side. I think that'd be unbelievable. Yeah. Like, no, not going but there.
West London.
West
London.
Yeah. Actually, that is quite attractive now you put it like that. And he does like London. Quinns does not. Yeah, that might work for him. I can see
nice
him.
Kit.
I can see him at Bath.
Great kit. Yeah, Bath's definitely an option.
I'm sure Quinns changing their away kit would be a stipulation in his contract from that horrible green monstrosity.
Yeah, and the other rumor is, whisper it. I don't think he gets on very well with Owen Farrell. So you know, the chance of him getting back into England at the moment are going to be fairly limited. Because you've got to be Farrell's mates if you want to play there. I'm not sure that they get on too well.
Go to France, Danny. I've been saying it for 2 years. Go to France. Earn £500,000 a year plus, more than that. And then
I'd like to
just
see him
retire
go to
and
Racing.
Relax.
I'd like to see him go to Racing with Finn and then have 40 minutes each, like every game. Just utter chaos.
Beautiful chaos.
Play one of them at fullback, play one of them at 10. Split the pitch in two. Just let them run riots.
Well, watch this space on Sippers, because it should be dealt with in the next couple of weeks.
I hope so. I hope he stays at Gloucester.
At Gloucester.
It just seems everything works there. It's a nice setup.
But he deserves to earn that cheddar.
Yeah, pay him. Definitely. Gloucester. Just pay him. I bet you know there's a deal to be done here. Right, and the deal is. Because Gloucester need to keep him.
What business could they help Sippers launch?
Well, the deal I would do, right, is I would basically say to the Welsh regions, please take Owen Williams. Please take him. Then I'd use Owen Williams' money and then pay it to Cipriani. Now, I'm pretty sure Gloucester have already thought of this. There are brighter minds there than me. But that's, if they haven't thought of that, I'd be amazed.
Who would... What business could they start? What business do you think Sippers might enjoy to start?
I can imagine Sippers doing something
Nesquik
like
a chocolate milk energy fitness drink.
I can see him doing stuff like car modifications. That would be a very yeah
him and Nev.
Yes, exactly.
Killing it.
Pimp my ride.
Yeah. Modifying Range Rovers and so on and so forth.
Oh, there's got to be some kind of golden wrist, platinum wrist.
Oh, yes, bracelet. Now you're talking.
Bracelet.
Oh, what, like high-end restraint wear?
Or maybe some, like, the grip mitt type things.
But he doesn't drop the ball.
No, no, not grip mitt, but that kind of thing. Ooh, but is
no, an opposite to grip mitt.
That adds extra rotation to your wrist.
No, you've got it completely
some
wrong,
kind of
Phil.
Gyroscope-based wristwear.
No. So what it is, right, is the gloves, which make the ball less sticky, so you're more likely to fumble it. Because his hands are so good, this is the only way that he can get better. Right? It's like a handicap system. Slip mitts. And if you can play with slip mitts, and when you
you're
take
as good
them off,
as, you're as good as like, Cipriani.
That is bloody brilliant.
Did you notice?
It's like the scrum half weighted balls.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Slip mitts. Danny Cipriani, slip mitts.
Did you notice Adam Hastings' hands when he came on yesterday?
No.
Or rather, his fingers. He had all of his fingers, every single one of them, independently taped.
Well, that's clever. Right, I've spoke about this a lot.
Is that like in the way Martin Johnson used to? Johnson used to have in between you got your knuckle and then you got two joints on each finger.
Uh-huh.
In between each of the joints, between the knuckle and the middle of the finger, between the middle of the finger and the and the end of the finger, he taped it. But that was an NFL thing because when your hands are held up, it creates like a target.
A visual
target.
Well, no, it was more like a mummy, an Egyptian mummy, from half a centimetre above the knuckle all the way.
Why? Right, is that dry? Because
it must be for grip.
Yeah, so the stupid thing about stick mitts, right, which no one wears anymore. Or does anyone wear them?
Anyone? I can't. Good used to wear them, didn't he?
Okay. If you're coached properly, you don't catch with your palms. You just don't, right? So why have you got grip there? So I always thought it would be better to make sticky thimbles.
Like the rubber things you use when you're sorting
exactly.
Paper.
Yeah, yeah, for documents. Like, yeah. So that's what you should wear. Because you're meant to catch with the tips of your fingers.
Yeah. So that's what Hastings did.
Surely you lose a little bit of that. I mean, Adam Hastings is wearing it in international games, so obviously not. But surely I was thinking you lose a little bit of that sensitivity. And
maybe. I don't know. I think that. But the other thing that I was thinking was, so I never really like to do anything in a game that I didn't do when I was training, if that makes sense. You don't want, so like if people using the handball spray in a game, why do you want to change
how you catch the ball?
Yeah, how you catch and pass the ball in only one scenario. So I would never want to do anything not in both. So unless he's going through the routine of taping every finger in every train, every time he catches or passes a ball, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, so Sip mitts is what.
Sips, slips, mitts, and
sip as thimbles.
And then when you go from the sip, slip, mitts
no,
to the
sip,
thimbles.
No, oh, yeah. Sip tips.
Tippers. Yeah, tippers.
So you go from the sip, slips, mitts to the sip tips.
Yeah.
You're going from absolutely no grip at all to like extra grip.
Exactly. It's a system.
There you go. Make up the short Gloucester, help him launch that business, give him some of your marketing nous, and he'll stay.
Steve Vaughan, if you're listening.
Yes. Genius. Right, let's take a look at unless there's any other news going on this week. We haven't really mentioned the under-20s, Six Nations, or the...
Don't know what happened in it. What happened in it?
Didn't Ireland...
Don't know.
Or was it France?
Go follow Alex Shaw because he will do it in much greater detail than us. I didn't even know. I couldn't even tell you who played today.
Well, England played Scotland. I remember.
Live Googling of rugby knowledge going on.
England beat Scotland.
Yeah, well, I knew England beat Scotland.
Yeah. No, good. But we can talk about the domestic games which are coming up this week because it's a big, big week of domestic rugby.
Certainly. It's always going to be a big week of domestic rugby until it's over.
Rugby is St James's Park.
Is that this weekend?
It's this weekend, yeah.
Exciting.
Well, actually, like chronologically, massive game on Friday night.
Yeah, local derby, East Midlands derby.
All right, so go through the fixtures then.
Friday night, 7:45, live on BT Sport. Leicester Tigers host Northampton Saints.
I'm going Northampton Saints here. They're playing lovely rugby. You saw them live in the Premiership Cup final today, Tim.
I did.
How were they?
They look very good. Oh, it's hard to judge because that wasn't Saracens. That wasn't Saracens were very. Northampton were very good. They were playing against a very young Saracen side. But nevertheless, Northampton played very, very well.
It was two young sides, though, wasn't it?
Saracen, or, relatively.
Well, it's a young side now.
Yeah, true.
It's interesting. Chris Boyd sort of said that he thinks maybe 8 or 9 or maybe even more players will change from that Northampton side to the one that takes on Leicester, which does, again, hints at the strength in depth he's building by blooding a lot of these young players. But yeah, Northampton, they've got something about them. And I think what I really like is...
Okay, just looking at the back line.
Naira Voro is in there. Piers Francis,
Luther Burrell, RC Tuala. Yeah. And Grayson Furbank, Mitchell, who are young lads. Waller, who's got a lot of experience.
Ryanak was on the bench, Harrison, he'll come in. Hutchinson was on the bench, he'll come in.
Yeah.
So two different teams. I mean, it feels to me that Northampton are absolutely bouncing as a club at the moment. Huge win against Sale. Did they win the week after that? Yes.
No, they lost their last two games, actually.
Have they?
Yeah, before this one.
I just have a feeling that they're going
to...
They
lost to Bristol at home.
That's right, they did it.
Oh, yeah, with four men in the yellow bin. Cards.
Yeah, that does make a difference.
And then they lost to Saracens before that.
That said, they have just won a cup, and Leicester are in a bad place and completely inept. But Leicester with their England boys, who could be tired? Who knows?
Yeah, it's two teams that they'll be desperate to win for league points, but for pride as well.
Northampton for me.
I think what's interesting with Northampton is the way that Chris Boyd has very slowly been changing the way they play. When he first came in, and I remember, I think it was the opening game of the season, I was at Gloucester, and I think Northampton were playing, and I said to Chris Boyd, when I chatted to him and managed to formulate a full question, asked him if he was going to bring his kind of influence that he'd brought from Super Rugby into Saints, and he was at pains to say, no, you've got to respect this league and you can't just come in and change things. But he has changed things, but over a really long period of time.
Yeah, he's taken his time doing it.
And you see the way they're playing with real... They score a lot of tries from broken field play.
Tell me about it.
But it will take longer, I think. It'll take, well, at least till next season, possibly even longer than that, for it to bed in to the point where they are winning more and more games and really challenging at the top of the table.
It's tough to call.
Saints.
I think Saints as well. Leicester will be buoyed. Ford will make a big difference to Leicester.
I think...
Oh, well, he's already been playing, so...
I think...
Man of the match performance a few weeks ago.
Leicester at home, just... Okay. It's going to be a feisty, feisty match.
Next game?
Can't wait.
So, we've got... there's 3 3:00 kickoffs. We've got Gloucester hosting Wasps.
Okay. Gloucester?
Gloucester at home, yes.
Gloucester, yeah.
We've got Saracens hosting Quins.
Live game from... the London Stadium on BT Sport.
Oh, is it? Are you working that?
Not that one.
Oh. You working any games?
Friday night and another game it will come to in a minute.
Very nice. The London Stadium.
Saracens will have to rest some of their England guys.
Yeah, but...
If not,
it's true.
All of
them.
Because
they've got a quarter-final.
Exactly. They've got
As have Quins, but they need league points.
And
Quins have had fewer players playing for England.
Of course.
But Quins are on the end of an absolute hiding against Gloucester.
Absolute hiding. Absolute beat down.
So if it's a few months ago, a month ago, I'd say Quins have got a good shout here. But because of that beat down that they received from Gloucester, I think that Saracens will take them to pieces.
I think Saracens, that their team will be completely changed from the one that played this weekend. Completely.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. What did Alistair Crossdale look like on the wing?
Didn't see a great deal of him. He looks really electric when he goes forward. He has been a little bit frail defensively, but you don't know how much of that is system and how much of that is personal issues just through the whole competition.
He's meant to be bloody brilliant.
He looks really dangerous with the ball.
Yeah, meant to be a good schoolboy's fly half. We're going to be a fullback, apparently.
They've got a lot of guys that are going to be fullback. Like Max Malins looks to me like he's more a fullback than a fly half. But
yeah. Anyway, next game.
Give me Quins for that one, though.
Interesting.
Next game, we've got
By the way, on the Quins thing, the premonition took a big step forward when we've talked about Sippers already. When Marcus Smith was called into the England squad,
yeah,
not Sippers,
yeah,
yeah,
which would be a massive slap round the chops if he was Sippers.
So all it takes is for Farrell and Ford to both go down pre-World Cup, and then the whiteboard strikes again.
Again.
Or for the first time.
Again. Marcus Smith being England fly-half would be wonderful. Although, he's not done as much this year as he did last year.
He's got some real competition from Langers.
Yeah.
RGC's Langers.
Exactly. Yeah, well, hopefully he will start England's first World Cup game. That would be great.
Saracens to win, Alex Good, man of the match.
Okay.
So, we've got a couple of relegation battles coming up now. So, first one at 3 o'clock, Bristol host Worcester.
Bristol. Ooh, Bristol for me. Did anyone listen to my interview with Darren Barry?
I haven't yet.
I've downloaded it.
It is fascinating because he's very, 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 very honest and talks about...
Big game for him, this one, personally. Boy from Bristol.
Well, if
playing for Worcester.
If he plays. Because we spoke quite a lot about Worcester's propensity not... They don't believe in rotation for the Premiership. So they've got a starting 15.
And even they've played the same 15 for a lot. I remember them playing their big names in the Premiership Rugby Cup earlier in the season to keep that consistency.
So very frustrating for the guys on the outside of that team trying to get in.
It's very interesting to say that because that's one of the things you pick up from Northampton that has changed under Chris Boyd is that everyone gets a crack at some point. And so he's very honest about there will be rotation. You get a crack. And if you play well, you're in. And you do need to keep that carrot dangling.
Yeah, well, it's a fascinating one for me. Dean Ryan, speaking about Dean Ryan, and this is not about rotation, but just how Worcester were planning their games and what a smart operator Dean Ryan is. Now, I don't think much of him as a director of rugby, to be honest. I think he's a far better pundit.
And an excellent broadband expert.
Yes, quite.
super fast. Wi-Fi in the Worcester Academy house.
He used to try and limit the amount of carries and tackles made by his props, which to me is completely counterintuitive. I always think like the model for props is the extra chiefs model, where you try and get your props doing as much stuff as you possibly can. But he had the opposite idea, which is you don't want them tackling and carrying because you want them scrimmaging. Which I thought was absolutely fascinating.
That's interesting.
So yeah,
you hear some stories back in the day. My brother's told me some stories about playing at Plymouth, and any forward that wasn't a designated person, there was only one or two of them. I think Dan Ward Smith was one of them. Wasn't allowed to pass the ball.
Dan Ward Smith came up in our interview too.
What about one of his favourite players?
Just like a really good player.
Yeah, he should have got an England cap.
Like the best athlete. I thought he did. Would he get in the
squad?
No,
he got in the squad, then got injured.
Yeah, and the last one, what was the last one? Yeah, when they went to play Exeter Chiefs, they practiced 160 lineouts, and they only had 8 all game because Exeter decided to keep the ball in play. 8 wow. Lineouts all.
Oh, that sounds
160
like...
times practicing.
There you go, Worcester fans, when you're driving to Ashton Gate or getting the train, get that podcast downloaded and listen to Darren Barry. As for the game,
it's going to be Bristol, isn't it?
It's going to be Bristol.
It's going to be Bristol.
I can't see where Worcester's next win's coming.
It's got to be this one.
Look at their fixtures.
It has to be this one. If they want to stay up, they have to win this.
Yeah, and they've played some good stuff recently. I mean, they came back very well against Exeter to get that losing bonus point. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple more wins. And I think they'll get something out of this game. But I just think Bristol will probably edge it. Then we've got St. James's Park.
Yes.
5:30. So is this also a live game on BT Sport?
A live game on BT Sport.
Are you doing this one?
I'm doing this one.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Ooh, exciting.
Good game to be doing this one.
Yeah.
As a neutral, who will you be supporting?
I will want the best team to win.
Exactly right. And bloody tough game this.
Newcastle will be targeting this game.
Well, yeah. I mean,
can they play Mark Wilson? Because they haven't got Europe the next week. You have to rest your England players out one for 1 week out of the next two or three, right?
I would have thought they'd play Mark Wilson.
I would play with Mark Wilson. The biggest stage that the club is going to be on for a long time. Not only do they need the points, you know, they made a big song and dance about this. It's like you used to say, Phil, you don't lose on a do. And
don't
this
lose
is
on a
bloody
do,
big do.
And well, like London Irish going to New York and getting relegated.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
A bit like that. Sale are sort of the opposite to what Newcastle are in some ways. So like Newcastle are a really, really good team who are kind of low down. I reckon Sale are punching a little bit above their weight at the moment, sitting in at fifth. You know, there is a trap to be sprung here.
I'm not sure about that. When you look at Sale's fixtures, I think they could spring a surprise and sneak. I think Sale will sneak top six and could sneak top four. With looking at their fixtures,
Sale top four.
They've played a lot of the tough teams. They've played a lot of the tough teams already. They've got a favourable, and there's no easy games in the Premiership.
No
cliche. Yeah. But they've got a favourable run in.
Well, also they've been skiing. You know, they've been skiing last week. Relatively easy work week for them. Those boys in Sale do not get overworked. Not a tremendous amount of internationals away. You know, they'll put a bloody, you know, it'll be a good game by that way. That's on BT Sport. When? Sunday.
5:30 PM Saturday
on
night.
On Saturday.
Yes! Saturday evening.
Brilliant. So who are you saying, Tim?
I'm going to say it was this game last year that stitched Sale up as well. They went to St James's Park, should have won, and narrowly lost.
No,
yeah, it wasn't St James's Park, was it?
No, it was the Newcastle game. Sale went to St James's Park. Not St James's Park, sorry.
Kingston Park. Yes, yeah, sorry, that's what I meant.
Should have won, lost it really narrowly, and that scuppered their top four. Their top six,
well,
sorry.
They've had problems up north before. Think about the year before. I think he broke his leg. Rob Webber broke his leg against Newcastle, or broke his arm. And I think AJ broke his leg. And then
they got caught in last year's game. They got caught really cold, and then they had this unbelievable comeback, Scotland-esque comeback, and almost probably should have won it.
And then Dan Mugford missed a kick to win it.
Yes.
Not that I was watching.
Was that last year?
No, it was two years ago. Twice I've been up there in recent years. I had bad losses.
Newcastle are on a bit of a run. I just fancy Sale.
And they're good, but Newcastle will also be playing like 5% because they're going to be wearing a special Doddy Tartan kit.
Yeah.
And they're going to be wearing a Newcastle football kit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I can't see Newcastle losing this. I'm going to have,
there's a lot of emotion and a lot of
Newcastle by five.
So if we're,
it's going to be so tight. I could call it a few points either way.
Yeah, I think it will be very tight. I think Newcastle never lose on a do. I think they might sneak it. And if Bristol and Newcastle both win, then most likely, depending on bonus points and all the rest of it, Worcester will find themselves rooted to the bottom of the table.
And they won't get out
after Saturday.
God, there's twists and turns yet.
There are still some to go, I think.
And Sunday?
Sunday, just the one game, 3 o'clock, Sandy Park, Exeter Chiefs host Bath.
Live on BT Sport.
That'll be good. That'll be a cracking game.
That's a great Sunday game.
Exeter Chiefs next.
Yes. Give me Exeter.
Exeter.
Cool. There you go. Right.
2.5 hours of podcasting. Done.
10 to midnight.
Pro 14 games worth a mention.
Some will win, some will lose, and we'll find out next week.
Good.
Oh, actually, who are Treviso playing?
Here we go.
You got Friday. You've got Cardiff Scarlets.
Don't care. Next.
That'll be a good game.
I just want to know. It won't be a good game.
Connacht Benetton.
Okay.
Away, so travelling away to Connacht.
That's a good game.
That will be a tough game.
So the next 2 weeks, your beloved teams are facing off against Connacht. Benetton this week. Sale next week. You're not denying it then.
No. I said because Connacht's going to be an important game for me, because I'm doing a Facebook live show on the behest of Sale Sharks. So I'm going to be doing basically your job, Tim.
They've really twisted your arm there at the behest of.
Go on then. So I think I've got to interview Dimes. I've got to do an interview in the
softening him up for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not telling you what I'm asking him now, in case you nick it.
What else have I got? Got a changing room interview before the game with one of the players. And
that's cool.
I think I've got some touchline stuff.
I'll see you there in the tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. Jostling for space. We can have like an Anchorman fight.
I feel left out. Maybe I should start interviewing someone in the Sale tunnel.
Yeah, well,
What are you doing in two Fridays' time?
No idea.
You're playing rugby.
What day is it?
Oh, yeah, we've got a Vets game.
29th. I've actually got a work night out on the 29th.
Oh, right.
Better things to do.
Fine. So, Connacht, Benetton, Edinburgh, Leinster, John Barkley making, hopefully... is
your mate Box.
Hopefully, John Barkley at some point soon is going to be coming back into fitness. It's around about now. He said after Six Nations, hopefully, might start getting some game time. So keep an eye out for John Barkley's name. That'd be great to see him if he can make it back. Saturday, Ospreys, Dragons, Ulster, your boys, home to Southern Kings. That's a
big win.
Guaranteed win.
Big win.
Glasgow Cheetahs, Munster, Zebre.
It's a good warm-up, that. Big win for Ulster to then the following weekend go to get hammered by Leinster at the Aviva.
RGC play Cardiff on a Sunday as well.
Oh, why do you mention that? Just because
it just came up on the...
Exciting.
Good. Right.
Very good.
Pleasure podcasting with you, gents, and see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.